Agenda item number six, Isle of Wight County. Mr. Stagg, good morning.
Most of you will recall, I didn't write down who was here last month and who's here and that wasn't here last month, but we did hear this case initially back in the December, November combined meeting. Some issues came up at that meeting related to the width, height, alignment. We discovered there was a slight defect in the ad, so the commission directed staff to run a revised ad and seek answers to some of the questions that were raised. And I think we have the answers to those today. I'm going to run kind of quickly through the slides that I previously presented and then a few extra slides at the end to clarify some of the issues. So the applicant is here and can provide some additional information on specific questions if needed. We did receive some additional objections to this after the meeting. As you recall, Bob Livengood spoke on a different case and indicated that he was probably going to go back and inform some of people he knew in the area. So we did get some information. As part of your packet, there's a new list, which is the same list you saw last time. The second page of that list has some of the new information, the new ad, and the protest and some of the response information from the applicant. It's continually numbered, one through whatever, but the second page is newer information, cross-reference with your packet. So again, this is a request by the county to construct a pedestrian multi-use path for bikes and pedestrians. And the area of it that's in our jurisdiction is a crossing of Jones Creek. It's immediately upstream of the Bull Green Highway Bridge, VDOT Bridge. It also crosses Jones Creek at the same location. Again, this would be a shared use trail to connect the town of Smithfield to a Callaway County park called the Carlton Nike Park. And again, we did receive initially some objections and we received a few additional concerns. So this just kind of shows you the general alignment from Smithfield on the left going towards ending in Carlton. This location is a park. This is a little closer view of the section that involves BMRC jurisdiction. This is Jones Creek. The flow is in this direction out to the Pagan River. And this is the existing highway bridge. This is aerial photography provided in the application. These show the adjacent property owners. There was an objection from Mr. Saunders, whose property is here. And the Edwards Center, which owns land up the creek. Again, this is from our aerophotography satellite photos, again, showing the bridge, again, the pedestrian bridge, which run in this general location and span both the creek and a pretty extensive area of marsh, tidal marshland on the east side. Again, these are still drawings you saw last month. Again, showing the crossing. This is existing waterway here. There are cross-section of views. Again, this drawing was in your packet last time. One thing to note here, and you'll see it again near the end, is that while this does not show the actual highway bridge, and this relates to some of the concerns of the protestants, this bridge does go up in elevation as you cross the creek towards the tidal marsh area. Mr. Saunders' property, one of the protestants, is on this side. The bridge runs more at an even elevation, more in line with the mean high tide line. You use, obviously, it's above mean high tide, but it runs more in a straight elevation across, and this bridge actually gets higher from one side to the other. The proposed bridge is at or above the highway bridge at all locations where it crosses the creek. It actually starts, I believe, slightly higher than the bridge over on the Mr. Saunders' side. And that is one of the issues with the protestants, which I'll explain a little more in detail. Last month, there was some confusion about how this would be built, if it was a wooden structure. There was some miscommunication, I guess, between me and the applicant, but this was the drawing you saw. This is the actual typical of the section that would be over the marsh itself, which is going to be a wood structure with typical joists and a decking. At the end of the slide, you'll see, at the end of the presentation, you'll see another slide that has both this typical and the typical of the bridge over the creek, which will actually be a concrete and steel beam structure. Which question was, how could you build a wooden structure and have the pilings as far apart as were being proposed? That is not the case. It is a steel and concrete structure. The pilings will be in alignment with the bridge pilings, so there will be no difference in the navigation impact related to the piling alignment. Again, this was in the previous application. This is the bridge, and it's an as-built elevation. I use this to depict the elevations of the bridge versus the proposed elevations of the path to show that the path bridge would actually be out below this elevation. These are two drawings that were in the original application. These are new pictures that were supplied by the applicant and their agent. Gives you a little better perspective. This is looking back at Mr. Saunders' property. So this side would be the lower end of the pedestrian bridge, and it would get higher as you come this way. As you can see, the bridge is fairly level. There's not much change in elevation of the existing highway bridge. This is still in that same orientation, just spanning a little further around. You can't see Mr. Saunders' house behind the trees, but this is his boathouse. He had originally ejected, and I believe that the applicant or their agent can address. There have been negotiations with him concerning both the path and possibly the height of the bridge as it ties in over here to the land. This is turning around and looking in the opposite direction, back to the east, and this is all a big tidal marsh area here. The pedestrian bridge is proposed to get higher in elevation as it goes across, and I believe the applicant and their agent can espouse on that a little more in detail, but generally one of the reasons for the height is that there are some minimum requirements typically by the Corps related to shading structures over marshes, and so if they're going at a higher elevation here, because they are spanning this marsh with the bridge structure, so to get to that height and maintain it, this structure is elevating as it goes across. Again, this is a little bit washed out, but these are the two typicals. This is the one you just saw earlier, but this is the typical for the actual bridge structure over the creek. And as you can see, it has a larger joist. These are steel beams, and we have concrete pillars and end caps on top. The other issue was the width. We originally advertised this as a 10-foot wide pedestrian multi-use path, which it is on land. However, at the bridge crossing, it's a little under 15 feet. But the reason for that, and again, the agent and applicant can give you more detail if needed. This is a grant-funded project, and it does have to meet American Disabilities Act standards. So for this bridge portion, in addition to the use of it for bikes, they have to meet those standards, both for handicapped, and the rationale for making the bridge slightly wider than the path is that this has to accommodate bike traffic in two directions with handlebars. And since this has a railing on it, they wanted to make sure it was wide enough that there wouldn't be interference with bikes passing or with the railing itself catching a bike handlebar as people are riding across. So it is slightly wider than the path. It's actually 14 foot in some odd distance. But and of course it does have railing, which I think we'd require if it didn't. So having said that, we did receive some email correspondence. It is referenced in your packet. Mr. Mark Morin kind of seems to be leading the group. He has apparently spoken to some other residents up there and indicated that he sort of represents them. I believe he's here today. He was supposed to be coming. And this morning I got one final email that just said they agreed with his emails. So the two concerns we've heard from them is that this bridge should be level. It should be higher than the highway bridge, so that if the highway bridge is ever replaced, this won't be a restriction to navigation like the highway bridge currently is, and that it should be more level. It shouldn't go at a different angle than the highway bridge or a future highway bridge, which might be elevated. We did evaluate that, and I'll kind of summarize that in my recommendation at the end. But those seem to be concerns. Clearly, the information I've gotten from Mr. Morin indicates that they no longer really have a concern with the piling spacing because the pilings do line up with the existing bridge pilings. We would assume if a new bridge was built, there would be a similar piling alignment, although we don't know that. We don't know what VDOT would do in the future. So having said that, I just go to my summary and recommendation. We do believe that we re-advertised, so we addressed that concern, and that that should take care of the notification issue on the width. We did receive some additional information indicating the pilings would be in a line. That again, the elevation is being driven somewhat by the need to elevate the structure over the marsh. And that will be timber. However, the portion over the creek will be a concrete and steel beam structure. It needs to be compliant with the ADA requirements. And you see a note in there that, you know, this was done in consultation with the American Association of State Highway and Transportation Officials to make sure it did meet those requirements. So based on the information in both the original application and the supplemental information provided by the applicant after our previous hearing, of the concerns of nearby owners, and after evaluating the merits of the project against the concerns expressed by those in opposition, and after considering all the factors contained in 28.2.1205 of the Code of Virginia, we do still recommend approval of the project as proposed. We do recommend a time of year restriction for in-water construction activities from February 15th through June 30th to protect anadromous fish species. Happy to try to answer any questions. The applicant is here. I believe there may be some protestants here as well.
Any questions from the commission? Mr. Erskine.
One of the pictures you had, Ben, seemed to have a power line that was fairly close to the proposed bridge. Is there any OSHA requirements or anything like that that would require a certain distance away from that power line?
Yeah, I noticed that this morning, too. Hopefully the applicant and the agent can address that. I feel certain that line probably will have to be moved because it appears to be basically kind of in the alignment of where this structure would go. One additional thing that the protestants, their concern is that should the highway bridge be rebuilt at some point in the future, which will happen at some point, we don't know when, that if this bridge is elevated, that this structure would then be the confining factor for navigation, because on one end this structure is just about the same height as the current highway bridge. The applicant and their agent have indicated that they would seek from VDOT any new bridge construction incorporate a bike path with the new highway bridge, making this bridge obsolete. But again, that's an unknown. We don't know what VDOT would do. We don't know whether they would raise the bridge from its current elevation. But that is an anticipation, and I think they can elaborate in more detail on that if needed.
All right, thank you.
Any other questions from the commission? Is the county represented? Morning, ma'am. Are you an attorney?
No.
I need to swear you in. Do you hereby swear the testimony you'll give here today will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth to help you, God? Please state your name for the record.
Jamie Oliver, Isle of Wight County Transportation.
Welcome back.
Yes, I was before you last month. I'll be glad to answer any specific questions or specific concerns. I'd like to also thank your staff. They've worked with us diligently over the last month to take in all the information that we provided to them and synthesize it for you in your report. Specifically for the power line question that came up, the path is not going to be directly under the power line. It's going to be between the power line and the existing vehicular bridge. From the pictures, the perspective of the pictures, it looks like it wouldn't fit, but it does. There will be some temporary utility relocations as part of construction, but there will be no permanent relocation.
Questions from the commission?
Thank you, Ms. Oliver.
Is there anyone in the audience who wishes to testify in favor of this project? Anybody wish to testify in opposition to this project? Please come forward, sir. Are you an attorney?
No.
Let me swear you in. You hereby swear the testimony you'll give here today will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So if you got, please state your name for the record.
Mark Morin.
Welcome, Mr. Morin.
Thank you. Well, I think Mr. Zag has done a pretty good job of framing what we've got and what we're working with right here. I'm here primarily to address the elevation issue with the proposed pedestrian and bike path. As demonstrated, it's right adjacent to the Fulgham Bridge. That bridge was built in 1960 and was slated to be replaced within the next 15 to 20 years. So this is not a way down the path bridge replacement. This is something that's going to happen probably in our lifetime. And my primary concern is that the proposed design elevation right now does very little to alleviate the elevation of the bridge, which is greatly restricting navigation of many miles of Jones Creek estuary that is upstream. We have another fixed span bridge on Jones Creek several miles downstream, and it's 17 feet high. The present elevation of the Fulgham Bridge probably gives a vertical clearance of somewhere around 6 feet navigation presently. And with the new bridge, this new bridge will increase that or provide more eventually, but it's only 2 feet maybe. So it's still substantially less than what we would consider to be a standard elevation for an estuary the size of Jones Creek. My summary of most of these bridges in the area dictate to me around 11 to 13 feet is normal navigation elevation above waterline for a bridge like this if it were to be built by today's standards. So, in essence, this new walkway bridge, which is a substantial structure now, it's not the little wooden thing we thought was going up. It's concrete piles, concrete tie bar, it's metal, it's going to last a lot longer than 20 years. So what we're approving today is, in essence, the first stage of the replacement, if you will, of the Fulgham Bridge and alleviating the navigation restriction for clearance in this area, which is pretty significant. Jones Creek is where we have the major boat ramp for Isle of Wight, and if they showed the pictures up there, it's not a half a mile downstream of this bridge. And this bridge greatly restricts the boaters from being able to come up to miles of creek that can be used for water skiing and fishing and what have you because of the low clearance. So it's quite, I would say it's almost given that when we rebuild the Fulgham Bridge, it will be elevated. Now, if this bridge is left in its present design, the elevation will give us very little relief, and there will be no reason to move the Fulgham Bridge up much higher than it is right now. I think this new bridge, like I said, gives us maybe 2 or 3 additional feet of elevation. So at a minimum, and I mean, I don't understand why the bridge can't be built at least level across there. There's more clearance on the marsh to the right-hand side than there is over the navigable water, which makes little sense to just, you know, a common sense approach to it. So what we want to petition you to do is to consider that if they do approve it, that we do it with some stipulation that the elevation of the bridge will be increased to at least standards by today's navigable clearance for bridges of this nature. I don't think that, I know that the county provided me information, much like Mr. Stagg alluded to, that the bridge, should it be replaced, the new bridge would incorporate this existing new structure would be melted in. I just can't see where we're going to tear this down, because if you don't tear it down, it establishes the new clearance. And it's a pretty substantial structure, so I doubt very seriously it'll be torn down. And I don't think the elevation change is a significant cost impact, maybe a little design time, but not a significant cost impact. So I'm not quite sure what the problem is with getting it approved but at a higher elevation. So that's the number one concern, is this is establishing the clearance for future. Any questions?
Thank you, Ms. Morgan. Questions, Ms. Haney?
Yes, ma'am. What is the depth of the water, and is there a channel on one side of the bridge versus the other?
The depth of the water is approximately 16 to 18 feet around underneath the bridge. Actually, on either side of the bridge, it's a little deeper, so it's plenty deep and navigable. Presently, the existing bridge is actually higher on the western side than the eastern. And you can actually, if you have, you know, a tall boat to get around, you have to go all the way to the westernmost side of the bridge because it actually has a slight incline. It's not quite level either. Looks like nobody has a level in Isle of Wight. Everything is going to be. But yeah, there's plenty of navigable water there, and there's many, many miles of water upstream of this bridge that is presently, you can't even get a wakeboard boat with a little tower underneath it. It's so restricted. I don't know how you're going to build a thing. Okay, true. I don't know how you get anything under it.
Mr. Erskine.
Sir, what did you say the elevation was? Was it 6 feet?
Yes. The present elevation is, you can pull the charts on it, but it's approximately 6 feet is the total vertical clearance of the existing bridge. The bridge that they are proposing will be slightly higher, but like I said, 2 feet maybe. I think at the other end it's approximately four and a half. My calculations say between 4 and 5 feet ramp from one end to the other, which would result in the middle of approximately 2.5 feet. So you might get 8 feet on a good day.
And that's on high water?
Yes, probably mean water.
Okay.
So.
Any other questions from the commission? Thank you, Mr. Morgan.
You're welcome.
Is there anyone else who wishes to testify against this project? Please come forward. You hereby swear the testimony you'll give here today will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So, if you got?
That's all right, dude.
Thank you. Please state your name for the record.
All right, my name is Jim Holtoff. I live about an eighth of a mile downstream of the bridge, so obviously these are waters that I use quite frequently on a recreational standpoint. The current bridge, just for the records, so that you know, the charts actually give the clearance on the height at 7 feet. That's exactly what it says on the chart. I have a pontoon boat that sits, I guess the deck sits a foot and a half out of the water. So, and that tells you I'm 6 feet tall, so I can't go under the bridge without hitting my head on the bridge right now. Not to mention that you have to take all your canopies down to go underneath the current bridge. What we're trying to do here, Mr. Moore and myself and a lot of others who have participated in this, we're trying to set a precedent for the next bridge. I think this is very important because whatever the clearance of this bridge is going to be, when they replace this bridge, and they will before long, like Mark said, maybe 15 to 20 years, probably not because the bridge is getting old, but because that will probably be a four-lane highway, and that whole bridge will be replaced, probably because of that growth in the area. As he said, there's a lot of navigable water upstream, and there's a lot of recreational use. When I moved there 30 years ago, once every month you might see an oyster boat up there. Now, as times have gone on, 30 years later, the creeks are just constantly filled with boats coming and going and people water seeing. And I think it's important from a safety standpoint, not only this bridge, but all the bridges in Virginia, we start taking them up to where they're a good, safe height. I know y'all run across this all the time in your dealings with the state replacing bridges, but it's important to remember that from a safety standpoint, just because a bridge has been here for 100 years this tall, that's not good today. It's not the way it is. The water's used quite a bit more by our citizens, and we need to keep that in mind just from a safety standpoint of getting them. I know y'all have heard people about hitting their heads on bridges and bad stories, but it's something to keep in mind for the whole state. One other point I'd like to take. I've talked extensively with this with Bob Livingood, you know, L&L Marine, so I'm sure y'all have seen him up here sometime before. He's kind of our resident pier builder. His concern with this, and on his behalf, he has the flu, he's not able to be here today, he was coming. On his behalf, in his business, he has, of course, barge with piles on it. And his minimum clearance to be able to get under this bridge is 12 feet. Right now, what he's got to do is unload his equipment, carry it by land, carry the barge under the bridge, reload it, and then reverse that procedure when he demobilizes off the job. This greatly increased the cost to the residents that are going to live up here in the future, or somebody that lives there now that wants a pier put in. All of this land earmarked upstream of this is scheduled for development by Isle of Wight County. I think they could attest to that. I don't know their exact zoning. Probably that's why Smithfield wants to annex a whole lot of it so that they can get the taxes off this waterfront property. But it's just something to keep in mind from a construction standpoint. Appears it's a greatly increased cost to people who will live there in the future, or somebody who lives there now that wants to put a pier. What I want to see, and I don't think Mark would have any objection to this, I'd like to see a minimum of 12 feet of clearance in that the midspan is where actually the creek is relatively deep all the way across, but the channel is right in the midspan. And I'd like to see it at 12 feet of that midspan, even if it only means a couple of feet. I think Ben said, if I'm not wrong, I think he said it was 11 feet at the east side. And if that's true, to get up to 12 feet would probably create maybe a 2 or 3 feet rise in it and then have it fall to the other side. That's what I'd like to see, a minimum of 12 feet. The cost impact is minimal. The road, the cost of the road is the same, whether it's up there or down lower. You've got the impact of piles maybe this much longer, which is cheap now. And it's just not that expensive to take it up where it needs to be. All righty.
Thank you, sir. Any questions from the commission?
All right.
Thank you very much. Is there anyone else wish to speak in opposition to this proposal? Is the county wishing to have a couple minutes to rebut or to expand?
If you don't mind, I'd like to ask our project engineer just to go over the actual elevational differences between the two structures for a moment, because we've thrown a lot of numbers.
Great.
Out in the next couple minutes, and then I'll be glad to address the citizen comments.
Terrific. Thank you. You hereby swear the testimony you'll give here today will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Self, you got? Thank you. Please state your name for the record.
Becky Jukes, Kimley Horn and Associates.
Thank you, Becky.
Okay, so to clarify the elevations of the bridges, so the Fulgham Bridge, going from the west end on the left side of the screen, which is where the Saunders property is, so the Fulgham Bridge begins at an elevation of 12 and declines at a rate of about 1% to an elevation of 10. The proposed steel bridge with our project begins on the west side at elevation 13, so 1 foot higher than Fulgham Bridge, and it inclines at a rate of 2% to an elevation of about 17 feet. So on the western end, our bridge starts at about 1 foot higher, and on the eastern end, it ends up at about 7 feet higher.
Okay, any questions from the commission?
Thank you very much.
Oh, Mr.
Zetra. You're saying on the west side, that bridge, the bottom of that bridge is going to be 17 feet high?
So my elevations were the top of surface, so our bridge deck is about 2 feet deep. The Fulgham Bridge is about 2 feet as well. But I wasn't, my elevations are the Fulgham Bridge compared to our bridge. The elevation difference over the water, we have on our records that the mean high tide is around elevation 2. So when the Fulgham Bridge was starting at elevation 12 on the surface, the takeoff 2 feet for the superstructure depth, that's 10 feet. So 10 feet to 2 feet, so that's about an 8 foot. He was saying 7. That's close. It's on this, the most restricted side on the western end.
So on the high side, you're saying that the bottom of that bridge is going to be 15 feet above mean high water?
No, mine's at elevation. So mine is elevations of... So our proposed bridge is elevation 13 feet, let's see, elevation 13 to 17. And the water surface high tide is elevation, 2. So 13 subtract 2 is 11 feet, so 11 to 2. So that's ours would have a 9 foot clearance on the lowest side.
Did you do the cost projections as well?
We have looked into it briefly, and it would be a little bit more expensive. It's not double or anything like that, but we were concerned about the impact to the Saunders property right there. So if we were to keep the same height the level elevation across it, the impact to the Saunders property are significantly more. So right now, we're able to get down to grade, and so the path that leads up to the bridge on their property is mostly at grade. We would be about 5 or 6 feet higher, so they would be staring at a mound about 5 to 6 feet in the front of their yard. And they have a lot of trees there, as you saw, and a lot more of those trees would be taken out. We're taking out a few, but a lot more of those trees would be taken out, which is their buffer, really, between their house and the road.
Thank you. Any other questions from the commission? Mr. Sussman.
And you're with Kimley Horn, right? Okay, so you all do a lot of traffic engineering. I've got a question. What government agency in the Commonwealth of agencies dictate or, I guess, weigh into to height over navigable waterways?
So there's two items that would dictate the height of that Fulgham Bridge if it would be replaced. It's the Coast Guard and then it's the hydraulic considerations. The hydraulic considerations would be on the very conservative end to try to build a bridge above the 100-year flood, which ours is above 8.5 is the 100-year flood elevation, and we're up in the 11th for our low member. So ours would be above it, and the Fulgham Bridge now is even above it. The Coast Guard would be the other one, and we have been speaking with the Coast Guard, and they would recommend a replaced in-kind elevation for this bridge. They would not require it to be higher. They would start to speak up if you were to try to lower it, but they would not request for it to be higher because of the type of estuary that's up above it and the navigable water craft that's already there now, which they said is small vessels.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions from the commission? Thank you. Ms. Oliver, would you wrap this up for us, please?
Sure. I would just like to say that maintaining and even increasing navigability in that waterway to the greatest extent possible is in the best interest of the county as well as the individual property owner. It increases growth, it increases property values, and it increases recreational usage for our residents. We have to consider, you know, multiple impacts. We do have a plan to replace that bridge, as was discussed, in 25 years, and it would incorporate the path then, and at that time we would determine what the best use of the pedestrian bridge that was existing was. I think it's important to note, though, that we do not expect the pedestrian bridge to set the standard for what a major transportation infrastructure improvement would be. This pedestrian bridge would not set the precedent for what we would create with a four-lane vehicular bridge in the future.
So you're saying the pedestrian bridge, if the road bridge is raised, would go away?
It may. Okay. It may. We would determine that at 25 years is pretty far out for us to make any determination.
I can't think 25 days.
But increasing navigation is definitely a priority for the county, and we would look at all the opportunities to improve that with a vehicular bridge.
Any questions from the commission?
Yeah.
Mr. Erskine.
I have a question for the county. what do you all feel about the suggestion that there should be a higher minimum clearance in that? And does the county feel that that would be reasonable to raise the elevation in anticipation of replacing that vehicular bridge?
We have taken a look at that. Now, it's been fairly preliminary because this all came up in the last couple of weeks. Our concern at this point is that we would be making a concession for a proposed improvement in 25 years on what that would look at. And if I could go back real quick to here. No, not that one. Hold on. Our concern is, isn't there one of the Saunders? Yes. So if you see the driveway over here on the left, there would be approximately a 5-foot berm almost all the way to that driveway to increase the height of the bridge and tie it back into the ground. This has had a significant impact on the property owner for the projections of whether this pedestrian access will impact a future four-lane vehicular bridge. We have to kind of balance both the short-term and the long-term. I know the commission also received a letter of protest from the Saunders because of the impacts that it would have on their property, and we've tried to minimize those impacts while maintaining and even increasing navigation options in the channel and maintaining all of our environmental considerations. It's definitely been a balancing act, but we do feel like it would have a very hard impact on the Saunders for something that in the long run, 25 years down the road, may not be applicable.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions before the commission? Ms. Payne.
Another question, I guess, possibly for staff. the bridge upstream and the next bridge downstream from this
bridge. There is no bridge upstream.
There is no upstream.
There is a bridge downstream rescue that was replaced some years ago. That was raised in elevation. I don't know that it was required by the Coast Guard. I think it was a result of the same issues as this bridge. The citizens wanted, but there is a boat ramp. There is a county boat ramp below this bridge, but above the next bridge. So there is a lot of boat traffic from the boat ramp. While some people might come up this way from the boat ramp, the majority of people that use boat ramp are going the other direction out into the Pagan, James, and beyond.
And what again is that clearance of the next bridge closest?
Did y'all compare that? I think it's either 13 or 16 feet, maybe more than that.
16.7. Thank you.
Any other questions from the commission? Mr. Sessler.
I have a quick question. The first sentence under the summary says staff believes that this may be, to paraphrase, the height issue of the structure would be outside of the jurisdiction of VMRC. Do we have jurisdiction to recommend or dictate height or clearance under structures that go over navigable water?
We would typically defer to Coast Guard on this, and I have received, the Coast Guard was notified of this project by us as well, and we did not get any recommendation. I did talk to them. They had really no comment on this. Is at the current highway bridge, higher than the current highway bridge, and as I think the agency did, Coast Guard was not recommending me.
I think counsel from the Attorney General's office can help this.
So one of the factors to consider in a permitting decision under 1205A1 is other reasonable and permissible uses of state waters and state-owned bottomlands. So navigation is obviously a permissible use of state waters, so it should be considered in your permitting decision.
Okay.
I'd agree with you. We do consider it on all projects that impact the navigation as well as other uses.
Sure. Any other questions from the commission? Seeing none, the public hearing is closed, and the matter is before the commission for deliberation and action. Any discussion? Mr. Sessler.
I'll kick it off, and if I was the opposition, I would certainly want as much clearance as possible, but I also have to agree with the county. I've got to believe when that's a brand new VDOT project and it's either four-laned or whatever, there's going to be a lot of pressure from not only property owners but also the county to raise it and probably work that the other bridge in with it. And I think 20, 25 years down the road, that's going to be a whole big, new, brand new project with a lot of stakeholders looking at it. Trying to increase the clearance. It's my thinking.
Any other discussion? Mr. Erskine.
Well, and I agree with what Mr. Sessom said, and I recognize that it doesn't seem to be an issue here about the importance of a pedestrian or bridge and the project itself. It seems to be more about the elevation, and that's understandable that there's been some opposition. Personally, I do think that there's reasonable elevation, and currently the bridge that's there is dictating that. It's not necessarily this new pedestrian bridge, and it is gaining reasonably, I guess, a foot or two of navigation there from mean high water, is my understanding. So I'd make a motion to approve the project, accept staff recommendation.
We have a motion by Mr. Erskine to accept staff recommendation.
Second.
Second by Mr. Zedrin. I'll just note, I understand the protestants' concerns, and I have great admiration for them looking 15, 20, 25 years ahead. I'm, however, reluctant to anticipate what VDOT may do at any time, much less 20 years from now. So we have a motion to accept staff recommendation in a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any noes? Chair votes aye. The motion passes unanimously.